Good morning. Good morning. I hope everyone's having a great morning so far. I call your attentions to the blue sheet that are in the bulletin with the announcements on it. A couple things here to just mention. We'll still continue with church protocol of taking temperatures on everybody coming in. If you don't feel well, please don't come to church. In that, we'll try and keep our social distancing and that. But one thing that we are changing up is you don't have to call for reservations anymore for church. In that, we're kind of opening that back up. The governor opened up some stuff on the 9th of January, and so we're going to kind of follow that same protocol here. So you don't have to make reservations. So if you know someone who wasn't maybe coming to church because they didn't want to have to make a reservation, or they felt like if they made a reservation and they thought maybe it might take, and they didn't show up, that it might take somebody's spot or whatever, just tell them is we're open and we'll go forward from there. We do need to find a chair for the diaconate. It can be a chair or a co-chair. It can be a tri-chair as far as we care. We just need somebody to take this job on and do it. So if you're part of the diaconate and would want to take a look at this, I encourage you to either talk to Karen or to Coolin or myself about what the job is and kind of the duties and responsibilities of those chairs are. So Blanket Ministry is planning a 5-year celebration coming up here. It will be due to COVID. We're probably not going to celebrate like what we would normally celebrate at the anniversary time period, but we are planning to have a major celebration, so stay tuned for more details later. That's the teaser type deal out there. So any other announcements today? Once, twice. Whoop, Paul, announcement?
Just to add to your announcement, committee met, the 100th anniversary committee met this week, and kind of agonized over the decision, but clearly it was clear that everyone felt we need to delay the celebration until late summer, early fall. That's our plan. We're going to have a good celebration, but we're still concerned about the influence of the virus in our community and in surrounding states.
Okay. So, again, the deal of it is we will be celebrating our 100th anniversary, but the date is not yet confirmed as to when we're going to do that. So, but again, stay tuned. We're going to do it. We're just waiting till the right opportunities out there. So, other announcements. Debbie. Okay, thank you for that update. Any other announcements? All right, let us prepare for our worship with the prelude. Arlen? Thank you, Arlen. Please stand and join with me the call to worship. Spirit of God, thank you for continuing to see us. Merciful God, thank you for hearing our pleas. Forgiving God, thank you for being present with us. God of all creation, lead our worship this day. Let us sing the opening first verse of How Great Thou Art. The words are on the screen.
Please pray with me. Father, thank you. You have brought each of us safely to this place. We gladly surrender our lives to you in worship and praise. As we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for healing. And for those away from us, we ask for your blessing to be on them. We invite your beautiful Holy Spirit to move freely among us. Come dwell in each of our hearts. Equip us, challenge us, comfort us, teach us. Inspire us as we learn more about your majestic ways. Father, as we meet now, we may behold your beauty and encounter your grace. We ask for all this in the wonderful name of Jesus as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you, Kathy, for that zippy little tune. I call your attention, if you would please, to the back of the bulletin, prayer concerns on the back. In addition to that, we have some additional prayer concerns, prayers of comfort to Belle Stapleton and her family for the loss of Belle's father, Buzz Wassenberger, who died this Wednesday, or this last week. His funeral services will be in Big Piney on Wednesday. So prayers for comfort for Belle and her family. Monica Decker will have some outpatient surgery this week on Monday, so prayers for healing for her. Arlen's grandmother, Judy, has been diagnosed with some lymph cancer in that, and they are working on trying to figure out whether it's just in the one lymph node and they can remove it, or whether they'll how they'll proceed from there. So prayers for healing and knowledge for the doctors on to fix that. Bob Malloy has a friend who is struggling with heart disease, so keep them in your mind. Terry Morrison, who also allowed Bob Malloy to be part of her deal, family, in that which he laughed about, has a relative that's 92 years old that had some hip problems. She has been transferred to Elkhorn Rehab for this hip and pelvic issues that she's had. So prayers for less pain and healing for her. We also want to consider praying for the National City Christian Church in the heart of D.C. for this coming week, as well as the people of D.C. for a peaceful transition of power in this coming week and as we go forward into the year. So those are the ones that I currently have. So I will share a joy. I shared this with a group this morning. My youngest son, Jason, drew a bison permit over in Jackson. And so him and his girlfriend went to Jackson last week to look about being able to get a bison. And the bison are all up on private land and or national forests. And so because they don't have a huge amount of snow and they've got a lot of feed up there, so they know that A, there's lots of food, and B, they don't get shot if they're on the national forest land or on private land. So they weren't able to do that, but since they couldn't go hunting, he decided he'd just propose to his girlfriend and she accepted. So that's a huge deal to our family, because she'll be a great addition, and my wife is happy that there'll be another female in the family rather than just males. So she's happy with that. Are there other joys or concerns out there? Yes, Virginia. Okay. Peg Jackson got her COVID shot this last week and fell. She's not badly injured, but she's pretty badly bruised. So prayers of just, you know, getting rid of that painfulness of falling and the bruising and everything for her, and that she continues to get well. Any other? Kathy. If that doesn't sound like Peg, nothing does. So if you've known Peg for a while. So Thank you for the update. Any other prayer concerns we might have missed? Joys? Anybody birthdays, anniversaries? Oh, Arlen. Oh, cool. Arlen's oldest sister is pregnant, and they are going to induce her this coming weekend. So should be a new one roaming around Casper shortly. So any other prayer concerns, joys to share? Hearing and seeing none, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. O merciful God, we come today to celebrate this Laity Sunday so that you know we appreciate everything you have done for us. Lord, we ask that you provide comfort to those who are sick and isolated, who need that extra touch of your hand so they understand that they are not alone and you are with them step by step. Lord, we ask for patience as we go through the coming week, coming months, and the coming years. We know that you forgave our sins, and we need to understand how to get along with everyone. Lord, during this pandemic time and transition time, we need you more than ever. We ask you to light the light within us so that we may ask people to come and see the joy, the mercy, and the love that you give to each and every one of us. In these things we ask. Amen.
This is not our table. This is not the church's table. This is the Lord's table. And everyone is welcome. Those who get up every morning to try to follow Jesus, as well as those who fall asleep, remembering how they didn't. Those who know that this meal, what this meal is all about, as well as those who struggle with the mystery. Those whose faith overflows the edges of their hearts, as well as those who run on empty. So come, neighbor and stranger, come, brother and sister, come, old and young, come, for you are God's beloved, and welcome to this feast.
Let us sing our communion hymn.
Thank you.
Let us break bread together. The words are on the screen. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Upon the loaf and upon the cup of the Lord, in letters which speak not to the eye, but to the heart of every disciple, is inscribed, "When this you see, remember me." Indeed, the Lord says to each disciple, when he receives the symbols into his hand, "This is my body, broken for you." The loaf is thus constituted a representation of his body, first whole, then wounded for our sins. The cup is thus instituted a representation of his blood, once his life, but now poured out to cleanse us from our sins. Amen. And now, not because we have to, but because we are grateful, let us return to God what is ours to share. Let us joyfully offer our time, our treasure, our commitment, and our prayers. The Lord our God often gives us so many wonderful things that makes our life worth living. He gives us the gift of family and friends, the gift of love and laughter. As humble servants, we should show gratitude and give something back to the Father. Thank you for doing that at this point. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." These are the words of God for the people of God. So, as I told the first group this morning, a little confession. You have to get the scripture and the information for the bulletin to Kathy on Wednesday, and I had done that. And I was pretty proud of myself, actually, for getting that done in that before she had to hound me too bad about it. And so I was feeling really good about it. And then last night, after coming down off the mountain from snowshoeing up there most of the day, came down about 5 o'clock last night. I said, "You know what, while we're fixing dinner here, I'll just reread through the scripture and make sure that everything's good, and that'll be good." So I got the bulletin that Kathy had given me the other day and opened it up and got the scripture out, pulled it up on my tablet and read through it and said, this wasn't the scripture I planned on using. So I thought I had three different choices. One, I could just say Kathy put the wrong one in. But that didn't last very long because I'm scared of Kathy. So that one went out the door. Number two, I could just say as like, "Well, I decided I don't want to talk about that one." And just continue on with the topic I was going to talk about. Or number three, I could read it and see how I could make today's message like the one I already had planned. So I read it. And then I reread it, and I looked at it, and I go like, nothing I was going to say ties to what this is. And that, which was kind of baffling to me, because it came all out of the resources, so why wouldn't it all be the same? But it was different. So, I worked on this last night, thinking about it, and rereading the story, and looking up different resources and everything else on it. So, if it's no good today, it's Kathy's fault. Okay? So, you know, today is Laity Sunday. And so, you know, even growing up in the church, we always had Laity Sunday, but I really wasn't sure what it was. So, last night, as I was working through it, I thought, you know, I really need to understand what the word laity means. So when I pulled it up and looked at it, it said that it's common people. People who don't belong to some type of order or clergy. So, like, nuns and monks are part of the clergy, as so are the ministers and everything else. But the common people is what the lay people are. And if you read further down, it says they had no special skill or knowledge for this position. So remember, you can be a lay person for something else besides just being in the church. But quite frankly, that's where it's used the most in that. So, you know, if you often wondered how come people call you like disciples or members or whatever in that, it's because they didn't want to call you a lay person because that meant that you didn't have any special skill or knowledge on the deal and that. Now, Karen and I had a discussion after the last service about whether there is a skill or not like that. And I understand her side. She's wrong, but I'm right in that. So, and that, but that's the way it goes. So, when you really start thinking about the church, when you really think about the scripture, you see how things kind of come together. Now, this was a difficult scripture for me to understand because there are lots of parts to it, I think. And I'm still not certain I understand the total thing, but again, I'm a common person without much skill or knowledge, so that's okay, all right? But what I saw is Philip and Nathanael were asked to go see Jesus by Philip's two cousins, and they just said, come and see. And then they felt comfortable with him. And then Nathanael said, how did you get to know me? And Jesus said, I saw you standing underneath the fig tree. Now, it doesn't say in the scripture that they were at a gathering and Nathanael was off over underneath this fig tree by himself, standing alone with no one else around him, where you could easily pick him out. The fact of the matter is when Nathanael was underneath the fig tree, he wasn't anywhere in sight of Jesus. But when Nathanael heard this, he heard about how Jesus knew him even before he got to know Jesus. You see, when you look through the Bible, the spreading of God and Jesus is person to person. I don't really know of anyone who woke up one morning and said, I've got Jesus within me. It just didn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. For the most part, you learned about the church, about God, about Jesus, and about his love from another person. Now, it might have been your mom, it might have been your dad, it might have been your grandmother, might have been an aunt and uncle, it might have been anybody else. But they talked to you one-on-one. But you know, most of the time, the fire and brimstone doesn't necessarily work. What it is when you say, I am grateful because I have God in my life, and they say, I don't understand religion, you simply say, come and see. You ask them to come and to see what goes on. And they're no special skill or knowledge. Well, everyone has a special skill, and that is to be yourself. You don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to be all knowledgeable about the Bible and be able to stand up and recite Bible verse after Bible verse and tell everybody what the Bible is and how great Jesus is or anything else. You have to be yourself. You have to be a layperson who says is like, you know, I do my life every day and I appreciate the miracles that are put into my life by God. And come and see. You know, when you're members of church, a lot of times we talk about going out and inviting people to be members of our church. And the first thing that happens when we do that is we kind of get this uncomfortableness. So I related a story this week. On Tuesday, I had talked a little bit at our sales meeting at the office about some new things rolling out with the COVID Relief Act regarding different programs and that. I had multiple people who wanted more information, who wanted me to help them, who wanted me to point them in the right direction. Where do I go get the application? Who do I talk to? How do I do this? In the same time, I had two or three deals going on at the office that I needed to be taken care of, and I was talking to somebody from Texas and somebody from Wyoming who both said that they were in the right and they didn't have to do what the other said. And I was trying to be the mediator in between them, which is sometimes can be difficult in itself. In that. In the same token, we had some things going on at the church that I needed to deal with and wanted to deal with and get taken care of. And all of this stuff started piling up on me. And in addition to that, I had also let things go around the house in that because we had been up on the mountain the past weekend. And when you're gone all weekend and you come back and you're working, things just pile up and they don't get done. And I was getting to the point where I just got paralyzed. I almost couldn't breathe. So what I did was I went home. See, that's the easiest way to do it. You go home and you just say, it's like, I'm not going to answer any emails, telephone calls, texts. I'm not going to deal with the outside world. I'll just stay here because it's quiet, it's safe, it's an easy place to go. But I went home, took some deep breaths, ate lunch, and said, you know what? No matter what, the problems, the questions are still going to be out there. So what I had to start doing was taking it one step at a time. And I had to believe that by doing this, things were going to get better. So I did that. And by 5 o'clock that night, I felt better because I had gotten quite a bit accomplished during that time period. You see, we get so worked up about evangelism, about having to have the skills to speak in public or the money to put things out in the world, or just being able to talk to somebody and not understand totally what the Bible's saying, that we get that way. We get to the point where we almost can't breathe. It's become overwhelming to us. But what we forget is that as lay people, all we need to do is be ourselves, trust in God, and when people say is, how do I find Jesus, or I don't understand religion, I don't know what God is, just say, come, and let's see. You know, that's all it takes is for you to be you. You are a lay person of the church. You are the church. You know, how many of you can remember the little deal with the fingers, you know? Like, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. And that's our church. It's not the minister's church. It's not the region's church. It's not a group of the executives' church. It's our church. We're all involved. We're all needed. You don't have to have a special skill or knowledge, but you got to be part of it. Come and see how the church can affect you. Come and see how it can bring people together. Come and see how things can be better. You see, those are things that you can do. And what it takes is not the special skill or the knowledge, but the commitment to be part of it. That is the major thing you have to remember as being part of the laity. It's not skill and knowledge. You're a common person, and it's okay to be common. But it's that willingness, that desire to be part and to make the church as good as it can be, because that's what Jesus did for us. Amen. Our closing hymn is They Will Know We Are Christians. We'll sing the one verse. So I hope everyone has a fantastic week. Do not get stressed out over events that are going to happen this coming week. It's all in God's hands, not our hands, not the government's hands, but in God's hands. So just remember that, okay? Be patient, be kind, follow in Jesus' footsteps. Karen will be back in the pulpit next Sunday, so the back row of the pew will be open. So be sure and invite somebody to come and be part of this group in that. So with that, let us pray. Oh, gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to come together and rejoice and praise you on this Laity Sunday. We ask you to shine the light in our soul, to burn it brightly so that we may know you are with us and that we can ask other people to come and see. In these things we ask, amen.